WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Rockabilly musician Charlie Feathers died this summer, a few weeks after a definitive retrospective of his work had been reissued. He was 66. Rock historian Ed Ward says he was an original.
When you walk down the street, I always take a peek. Peeping eyes looking at you. I asked her for a date. She said a quarter to eight. Though I was never late, but had another day. Peeping eyes, deep inside. Peeping eyes looking at you. Peeping eyes, wanted to cry. Peeping eyes looking at you.
On August 31st, 1998, America lost one of its most cantankerous, original, and obscure musical figures when Charlie Feathers died of a massive stroke in Memphis. He was a man who did everything in his power to fuel his legend every time a fan would show up at his house or one of his local gigs. How much of what he said was true? Hard to say, but he did leave a legacy of a couple of dozen records, which give us clues. Charlie Feathers was born in 1932 near Holly Springs, Mississippi, in extreme poverty, and worked in the Texas oil fields as a teenager with his father. He also played the honky-tonks there because he'd long been fascinated with black musicians and had taken some impromptu lessons from Holly Springs blues man Junior Kimbrough. At 18, he moved to Memphis to drive a truck and get into the music business, and before long, he was hanging out with the regular crowd at Sun Records.
You could call and act it smart. Won't you please defrost your heart? Fill his trays with the love sweet and warm. Melt the ice and snow away. Let the sun shine in to stay. And mend the love that is tattered and torn. I love you more than I can tell. So please release me from this spell.
Sam Phillips, who ran Sun, thought Charlie was a great country singer, and there's ample evidence for that on Defrost Your Heart, which sounds a great deal like George Jones, but predates him. Charlie, however, had other ideas. He stood by and watched Sun make stars out of Carl Perkins and his old friend Elvis Presley, and he watched Elvis have a hit with a song he and steel guitar player Stan Kessler wrote, I Forgot to Remember to Forget. Finally, he took matters into his own hands and recorded the kind of music he wanted to play.
Now let me tell you about my real gone chick. She's got a different style. And when she tries to talk to me, I always smile. She's tongue-tied to my rocking feel, but I like to hear her say, well, me, God, put me more, well, me, God, put me more, well, me, God, put me more, well, me, God, put me more. Me died, but me more, and me died you. Let's go!
Tongue-Tied Jill, many people think, should have been a huge hit when it was recorded in 1956, but Sam Phillips was apoplectic when he heard it, claiming it made fun of the handicapped, and it came out on Meteor Records instead. It only sold 919 copies, but that was enough to alert King Records in Cincinnati to Charlie's existence. And so later in the year, he made two more singles for them, one of which, One Hand Loose, is considered one of the perfect rockabilly records.
I'm a tip-top daddy and I'm gonna hide my way deep away from the corner. See what I got to say. Hold a one hand only, get the ready for a ride. Give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied. Give me free hand, baby, cause I wanna rock. Turn it loose in, baby, I won't blow my top. Give me free hand, woman, let it swing up my side. Give me one hand loose and I'll be satisfied. Hello.
One thing was certain, Charlie Feathers wasn't some Southern kid trying to be Elvis. He was his own thing and confident in what he was doing. But again, the records didn't sell. King proposed a sound closer to Elvis's, and Charlie came back for two more records. Again, nothing. Charlie's regular band drifted away, but he continued to seek out opportunities to record. That he paid no attention to what was playable on the radio is evident in the shocking first line of his 1960 release, Jungle Fever. Since these were the same people he hung out with and learned music from, we can only put this down to naivete. After a bizarre stab at protest folk and a 1963 single for Holiday Inn Records, For Sale in the Lobby, Charlie Feather's recording career came to an end. He continued to play honky-tonks and sent his son Bubba to study with Junior Kimbrough and warmly welcomed the first pilgrims to show up at his door from England, where Tongue-Tied Jill and One Hand Loose were holy grails of record collecting. He'd hector them about the nature of true rockabilly and how nearly everybody out there had no idea how to play it. In 1991, Charlie Feathers finally recorded again for the ill-fated Nonesuch American Explorer series, but his voice wasn't what it used to be, although his guitar playing was. And he was still Charlie, arguing with the drummer about the right way to play rockabilly. Perhaps fortunately, he was one of a kind.
Rock historian Ed Ward. All the music he played is featured on the Charlie Feathers 2-CD retrospective, Get With It, on the label Revenant. I'm Terry Grossen. This is Fresh Air.